The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for His name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast. Hello, I want to say hello to everyone of you that are tuning to this broadcast, 88.1. And I want to let you know that we do appreciate your support in every way and in every aspect. Today, I'm going to have a guest on with me today, and his name is Philip Terrell. He is the existing district attorney, and we're going to have him come on, and we're going to have him say a few things. First of all, I want to take you to Romans 13, where it says in the first verse there, it tells you about those who are elected officials, you know, because some of us have that saying that you can't miss church and state and so on and so forth. But the Bible says in the 13th chapter, let everyone submit to the governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. So then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command and judgment on themselves. So my brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that those who are elected officials are empowered by God. Now I know we say that sometimes it does not work out the way we think it should, but look at here. Whatever's not done right, then guess what? God will take care of it. But I do want you to know that those positions are appointed and anointed by God. We want to bring on this morning, I believe, that's one of the greatest district attorneys we've ever had, and his name is Philip Terrell. And we want to have Philip come on, and we want him to introduce himself, and then Wade is gonna take over just for a little while. Philip.
Thank you, Pastor Tenney. It's a pleasure to be on with you this morning, and I'm honored to be here, you know, and I appreciate you reading that scripture out of Romans. And the other side of the coin, what my Bible teaches is that it is extremely important that we honor our leaders, but it is equally important that our leaders follow God and understand that their position is servants. Jesus washed the disciples' feet before he was crucified, and he did that to show that people, in my opinion, people in leadership need to understand that what they are is servants to the people.
Amen.
And I hope that everybody, my goal is for Rapids Parish DA's office to be open and accessible to people, kids who have problems, who have drug problems, alcohol problems, mental health issues. We're there to help you. We have the assets to do that. We're not just about putting people in prison. Certainly, there's a group of people who we have to institutionalize because they're dangerous, because they've committed violent crimes.
Right.
But that's not the most of what we see. The most of what we see is people who need help. We see young people with, young people at risk,
right,
marginalized people. We need to help them. We need the kids who've made a minor mistake need to get a second chance.
That's
we
right.
Put them on our pretrial diversion program or other whatever else we need to do to get them going on the straight and narrow. Because if you take a kid and convict them of a felony send them to prison, they're done.
That's right.
And you know, first of all, even for the people who don't who don't think they ought to do it because it's what God thinks we ought to do, it makes more financial sense to keep people in the stream of commerce, have them paying taxes, taking care of their families, rather than the taxpayers doing it.
That's right. And Philip, I'm glad you said that. Now, you know, but I really want people to know that, you know, that you do your job. You do your job well. Those who need to be convicted, you take care of that side and aspect of it. But also there are times when there are those who need a helping hand, who are in need. You know, the DA's office is, I don't think this should be a DA's office that just prosecute people, just be prosecuting people.
Well, Pastor, I agree with you. Justice has to be tempered with mercy. Boy, Mark. Justice has to be tempered with mercy. And I think that now that I'm getting to be an old man, I'm stepping back and looking at everything, and it seems to me that the most important things that a prosecutor, a DA, or anybody in the criminal justice system needs to be mature, experienced, and humble.
That's right.
Those three qualities go a long way. If you hadn't lived enough life and gotten your knees skin up a little bit, you have a hard time empathizing with other people.
But Philip, there's a gentleman here named Wade Hampton, he's a man of the cloth. He's in the ministry, and he's from out of a Global Impact, and we want him to he want to talk with you just for a second there.
Well, Philip, thank you so much for being on the program, and I want to congratulate you on becoming DA. And it seems like just last year you were elected. So tell us about the office of district attorney. How long are the terms?
The term is a 6-year term. The election is November the 3rd. Qualifying for the office ends in 4 minutes from 4:30 on Friday afternoon. So then we'll know who's in the field and will be in a position to go to work.
And so would you say, sir, are the highlights of your tenure so far?
Yes, sir. The things that I'm most proud of, the two things I'm most proud of, actually three. We put some real bad, dangerous guys in prison for a really long time. Second thing that we've done that I'm really proud of is we've instituted a pretrial diversion program that helps people who make mistakes, who are drug addicts or alcoholics, have a mental health condition. We have a licensed addiction counselor who is also a lawyer who runs my pretrial diversion program. We are very interested in making sure that we help everybody that we can. We have those assets available. And basically what happens is I'll get a kid in my office who has a charge. And if they're not a violent person, after we screen them well, we send them to the appropriate professionals. If they'll go get themselves straight, and if they'll take drug screens, and if they'll go to AA meetings, if they'll get a job, if they'll do all that for a year or so, after the counselors say they're good, I'll dismiss their charges so they get to start again. We can't do that for violent people. We can't do that with people with terrible records, but we do that for everybody that deserves it. The third thing that I'm very proud of, my friend Cliff Spears came to me. Cliff does my juvenile prosecution. He came to me my second year as DA and said, "Hey, Philip, look, if you will let me do a real truancy program, I'll make you a difference." Bolton High School had the highest truancy. They had 74% attendance. After Cliff's first year with Bolton, it went to 94%. The burglaries in the neighborhood went down. Kids graduated. So we started that in four other schools in the parish and also some four other high schools and a bunch of the junior highs. The concept, the idea is that if you, Kurt's over here, the idea is that if you look nationwide at people in prison, for sure men in prison, one of the common denominators, besides drug problems and single-parent homes, is lack of a high school education. You can't compete. And so if a person doesn't finish school, then they they're not in a position to go to like a community college. They can't get certain jobs, so they can't compete. So what do you expect them to do? They're in a marginalized position, right? Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we feel like it's very important to make sure that all the kids that we can make get through school to get them through school. So that's the purpose of that. And those are the three things that I'm proudest of.
You know something?
And I'm proud of my staff. They're a wonderful group of people. We have, I promised when I ran for DA that I would do everything in my power to make the DA's office diverse in ratio to the community. And I can tell you that it's my belief, I'm almost positive, there are more African-Americans working at the DA's office now than ever. The chief felony prosecutor is an African-American female. There are four female African-American prosecutors. The chief juvenile officer prosecutor is African-American. And our support staff is equally diverse.
Right.
So, that's about our story. I'm 62 years old. I've been practicing law 38 years almost. I'm married with three kids. I would love to have everybody's support, but mainly what I really need is your prayers.
Absolutely, Philip Terrell. You know, I was really gladdened to hear you say justice mixed with mercy. And I know of your Christian background, and I know of your faith, and you actually speak and live your faith. And that is what makes me want to work with you. My ministry, Global Impact Ministry, Minister Greg, a lot of people, we want to work with you as we move forward here in Rapides Parish.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let me tell you, Wade, I certainly appreciate that. And I got to do right by Global Impact because I know my old friend Ron is watching me from heaven.
Absolutely.
And Philip, also is a good thing is that you allow ministry work to take place at the DA's office because I was honored to come in and be a chaplain for you, and you receive it with open arms, and there are a lot of people that have been helped, and have been helped that I've had the opportunity of helping it because of you and your office of what you do. You're fair with everyone. I mean everyone. And I want to thank you for what you're doing. And I say to you, continue to do exactly what you're doing. And we're gonna have you back on again and let you come and be a part of it again, because it's truly a blessing to have you on today.
I'm as bad as a preacher. You got a lawyer and a politician mixed together, they'll talk all day.
Well, Philip, we surely want to thank you and thank your office. Thank you for the environment that you have set up there in that office, and you run a clean campaign. That's very, very important. So I do want you to know that we are Second National Missionary Baptist Church. We are a church that equipped the saints, evangelized the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for you. I thank God for the support that you've given my church and my members and all of the community and people throughout this community. So thank you so much. And I want all of the people to know that if you want to support this broadcast, you can support it by making all donations payable to Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. And you can mail them to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana. I want to thank you so much and let you know that the best is yet to come. God bless you.
Amen.
And God keep you is our prayer.
I will do anything, whatever it takes.
You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KAYT.
Thank you for joining us on the radio. My name is Pastor Grady Blackwell, First St. Mark Baptist Church. We're a church that's seeking the lost and lifting the found. So I just want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Tell everybody that Grady Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air.
I'm Pastor Blackwell. I'm coming to you from my home, but I can't help from thinking that I tell somebody to turn on their radio and listen to Pastor Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church, because we're all on the air. Y'all allow me to just say a few. First of all, our church services, Sunday school start at 10 a.m., and the church service start at 11 a.m. Our midweek service is on a Wednesday at 6:30. And it's kind of odd. We last from 6:30 until 7:30. We only use just 1 hour for that. Clearly, we thank you for attending that. Right now, we're not having our midweek service, but we are having our service. Another thing we have on a Monday night, we have our, I have our AA meeting from 6 to 7 on Wednesday night. People who celebrate and survive, celebrating clean time, they can come in on a Monday and be blessed as we sit and talk with each other about how to stay clean, stay sobriety, maintain our sobriety. So don't forget, every Monday from 6 to 7 at First St. Mark, we do have that. Every second Sunday, we have something called a fellowship meal. Every second Sunday, fellowship meal, you come, and after service, we come back in the fellowship hall, and we have a fellowship meal. I just want you to know some of the things that we're trying to do at the St. Mark Baptist Church. That's just some of them. Every Thursday, and we've been doing this for 8 years, we have a community prayer breakfast. It's a community prayer breakfast from 6:30 a.m. right up until 8:30 a.m. every Thursday morning. It's out right now until the coronavirus, until it kind of get a little bit better, which will be about the middle of May this month. Thank you for tuning in. That's just some of the things that we do on this First St. Mark Baptist Church. I'm so glad that you tuned in. We ask that you would tune in every Saturday. It's 10:45 a.m. in the morning to hear what we have to say. Somebody know about the church in the Army of Quarters, and just holler out and sign out the things that happen in the Army of Quarters in Alexander, Louisiana. Thank you for tuning in. I have some sick members. I'm not going to call their names, but I just hope that they are listening. I want them to know that many prayers are going out for them. We know that we can't visit you right now because of this virus, but we want you to know that prayer can go through, it can get to you. That's all I know. I know that the Holy Spirit cannot be controlled and kept out of a jail. Holy Spirit cannot be kept out of a hospital or ICU. As we talk to God about you and your loved ones, we know that the prayers can go behind walls. And we want you to know that First St. Mark Church family and their pastor is praying for you, not just one, but on a daily basis. We have your name on our church roll. We're praying for all our sick members and all our members who are homebound. Some of them may not be sick, they just might be worried. We're so glad that I have a chance to talk with you through the FM 88.1. Look, I just looked at something in my Bible. I'll tell you what I was looking at. I was looking at Matthew 6:25, the 6th chapter, 25th verse. And it reads, I just want to say, it's the title says, don't worry about tomorrow. I know that I don't have time, and I'm not trying to preach any kind of sermon in this particular time. We're just talking about things, but if I was looking at that chapter 6, verse 25, and I thought of something. It just said, don't worry about tomorrow. And I know, as I sit here now, I know that it's a lot of people worried about tomorrow. Not only tomorrow, they're worried about next week, and next month, and some of them worrying about yesterday. Some of them worrying about yesterday, or what I could have did, or what I should have did. But I'm just saying, don't worry about tomorrow. I just want to just talk just a little bit on that. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's a person by the name of Albert Einstein. He said, I never think of the future. It comes soon enough. Vance Hardner, an evangelist of the past generation, said, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Reverend R.C. Trench, for years, the Protestant Archbishop of Dublin, Ireland, had a terrible fear of being paralyzed. At a party one evening, the lady sitting next to him heard him whisper to himself, it finally happened at last. I have lost all feeling in my leg. I'm paralyzed. The lady next to him said, Reverend, the lady said, it might comfort you to know that it is my leg that you are pinching and not yours. In other words, he was worrying so much by being paralyzed and pinching the lady leg instead of his own and thought that he was paralyzed. And sometimes look like something is telling us that worry is not worth too much. Worry is useless. We make light of worry, yet we continue to worry. Christ was aware of the universal practice of worry. In Matthew 6, find an entire lesson he gave on the problem of worrying. A lot of time in this passage, there's a command worrying, and there's a calling, a comfort, all these things. I just like to deal with one of them. I like to deal with the command on worrying just a little bit. What Jesus said, do not worry about your life. He was using the Greek tense that would be continued doing something. God give us lives so that we can trust him lesser things. If God give us bodies, so that we can trust him to give us clothes for these bodies. We can trust God not to be forgive about our needs. Therefore, worry is wrong. William Barclay, a British Bible expositor, said that we should use our parents as a guide for better action in the future. The parents should not be something that lead us to brood until we worry ourselves into emotional paralysis. When we come to Christ for forgiveness, God forgives and he forget our past, and so should we. Therefore, I'm going to say it again, worry is useless. I'm just talking about a lot of things, but I'm talking about worrying. Yesterday is a cancer check. Tomorrow, we don't know. We don't know about tomorrow. But the day is what we should deal about. Day is what we should try to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. Tomorrow hadn't come yet. Yesterday, it's like the cancer check. It's already gone. The only thing we really should concentrate on is today. And that's why somebody out there hearing me now, instead of worrying about tomorrow or worrying about what you didn't do yesterday, you ought to be worrying about today. Can I get closer to the Lord today? Just let me give us this day our daily bread. Lord, bless me this day. Lord, let me be all I can be on this day. We ought to be praising God for this day. We ought to be thanking God for this day. We ought to be all we can be on this day. I'm just looking at a French soldier in World War I carried with him this quote about worry. Well, two things, one is certain, the soldier wrote. Either you're at the front or you are behind the line. If you're at the front, of two things, one is certain, either you're exposed to danger or you're in the safe place. And if you're exposed to danger, of two things are uncertain, either you're wounded or you're not. If you're wounded, two things, one is certain, either you will recover, you will die. If you recover, there's no need to worry. If you die, you can't worry. So why worry? I keep saying worry is useless. Turn your worries over to the Lord. Don't try to handle it yourself. God is big enough, and he's available to you 24/7. God can handle your worry. He has handled your word in the past, and I know for a fact that he can handle your word in the future. So don't worry about these little things, but turn it over to the Lord. I know for a fact that he can handle your worry. He will handle your worry. One of the things, I don't know how you think about tomorrow, but put tomorrow in God's hands. It all began with placing yourself, your past, your present, and your future in the hands of Jesus, your Savior and your Lord. I'm so glad. I don't know about nobody else, but I'm so glad that Jesus came from heaven on his way to heaven to save this world. Because this world was just like it is today, disease-stricken, people living any kind of old lies. People saying to themselves, if it feels good, do it. That's what people were saying. It was a mess. But Jesus wanted to get his people back on the right track. He could take his people and bring them back into relationship with him. But they were so full of sin that God didn't want to touch them, but he wanted to send somebody down, and he sent his son Jesus down to bring these sinful people back to him, because God still loves them. God still loves us, and I know that he don't love the sin that we commit. So we need to, when we pray, God forgive us of our sin, and all these things that we say when we pray, but we want God to forgive us of our sin so we can get a prayer through to him. But I thank God for Jesus who died.
Thank you for listening to us on KYT FM. Look, we appreciate you listening to us. We want you to tell everybody. If you want to correspond with us, it's First St. Mark Baptist Church, Alexander, Louisiana, 1624 Reed Avenue in the old Army Quarter. So if you want to contact us, 318-589-8129. Call us. Let us know how you feel or what you'd like to hear on the air from First St. Mark Baptist Church.
Down, This is KYT.